And the first thing I have to say is that we've had another convergence, something that's come together, a coincidence convergence, something that is wonderful. We have a 70th birthday. And we also have a 17th birthday. All at the same moment, and Philip Brunel has agreed to play while we sing happy birthday to Connie Martin. Where's Connie? Where's she? Oh, come on. Let us know who you are. And to Bryn Santarude. And where is Bryn? All right. Going to happen at Holden Village. Well, the next thing on the agenda is I get to welcome all the people who came in today. So please, when I call your name, stand up for a few seconds so we can see who you are. And please correct me if I get your name wrong or the place you're from wrong so we can start getting acquainted. So from McQueenie, Texas, we have Stephen Clark and Janana Clark. And we'll wait to clap until the end, because there are quite a few people coming in. Then Peter, Leah, Ethan, Alana, and Micah Clark. Elena and Micah, wonderful. And from Spokane, Washington, Karen and Barry Fisher. From Seguin, Texas, Tim Clark, Rebecca Clark, Madison, and Maya. Then from Tacoma, we have Roger and Cynthia Iverson with Soren, Eric, Martin, and Kirsten. Oh, no, he's speaking Norwegian again.
It's Roger Iverson.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. From Longview, Washington, we have Randall and Bonnie and Cody Jocelyn. And also Rodney, Melissa, and Bridget Jocelyn. From Spokane, we also have Barb and Rex Bewley and Jacob. Is that right? From Lauderdale, Minnesota, we have Natalie and Brian, Julian McCleary with Toby and Sophie. And then I have the name Martin. Is there a Martin that just came in today? Is Martin? And I don't have any more information. Are you Martin? Fabulous. Martin's here too. Iverson. I got it. It's going to be way too much fun tonight. From Lakeville, Minnesota, Carl Anderson. And also we have from Salem, Oregon, Caracuello with Tova and Caden Mertz. From Tacoma, Washington, Janet Grant and also Roseanne Martinez. From Port Moody, B.C., Hans Johnson and Martin Knowles. What? Pardon? From Vancouver. Okay. From Vancouver. Okay, from Lola, we have Shaw Island, represented by Lola Dean. And last but by no means least, the soon-to-be directors of Holden Village, Chuck and Steph Carpenter, with Kaylin and August. And welcome to all of you. Okay, and before we say our goodbyes, we have been living in the promises together, and the children of Narnia have written a song. This is another exciting moment.
Thank you, Carol and Mama. this thing on.
We only need to do it once just to test it. We only need to do it once. This.
Apparently it is on.
Are we on?
We are on.
So much, children and songstress Nancy Combs and all the helpers of Narnia. Thank you so much. Now, another part of our pattern here at Holden, our liturgy as a community is to say goodbye to those who are leaving. We want to send you out with a blessing and a prayer. So those of you who are leaving tomorrow, could you please stand so that we can pray together? Okay, let's pray together. Loving God, you give seasons for gladness of heart, and we thank you that those seasons visit us here with such regularity. Thank you for the joy of living in your promises, for the liveliness of your people, and for all the fresh ideas and new creations that are born and nourished here. Thank you for these sisters and brothers who will launch tomorrow on new journeys. Thank you for the gifts they've shared, for all the ways they've shaped our time together. Bless their lives with the hope of your promises. Keep them safe and merry, and refresh their callings in the world you love so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Peter Marty has Vespers this evening.
A reading from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. A little image here of the earliest Christian church. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of hope, word of life. Well, friends, let's talk about the Christian faith just for a few moments here, because in Christianity, we define our value, we define the meaning of our faith lives, always in communal capacities, always together. It's never something you do alone, this Christian journey thing. It's always what you do and what I do with other people and for other people that constitutes our Christian faith. So in Christianity, we don't say that God designed the human species just to be a bunch of individuals who arbitrarily and sometimes coincidentally intersect. We do not profess in the Christian faith that religion is all about cultivating your own spirituality, that holiness is a project you just simply undertake all by yourself. We don't profess these things, because if you think about it and if you look in the Bible, whenever God forms a covenant, it's always with God's people. God never makes a covenant with just an individual. Human life is an interconnected enterprise. And that's why people like Desmond Tutu keep coming back to that beautiful African proverb, a person becomes a person through other persons. We who inhabit the church of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to get this straight in a world that's high on hyper-individualism. So if you are a churchgoer, which I hope you are, and if you're not, I hope you'll seek out a Christian community somehow, some way, so that you can really exercise the communal nature of what defines our faith. But if you go to church and someone were to ask you, why do you go to church? What might you reply? You might say something that I've myself said before. Well, I come to church, or I go to church, so that I can find out how to lead a better life and how to motivate myself to lead that better life or be motivated to lead that better life, which isn't a totally wrong reply. But notice there's no mention of God in that definition at all. It's all up to me. I come to learn how I can lead a better life and what I am supposed to do as I walk my way towards this salvation. Well, tonight, I think it's a perfect night, and that's why I picked this particular lesson, to recall all over again that we do not define Christianity and our spiritual value or our spiritual meaning or the greatest meaning in life for that matter. We do not define it by anything we do alone. It is always defined by what you do with and what you do for other people. The Church of Jesus Christ is not merely about cultivating our own spirituality or finding the divine within ourselves. It is not, and it has never been, an individual project, an every man or woman or child for him or herself. It is a communal enterprise, and you become your fullest self in Jesus Christ, and I become my fullest self in Jesus Christ through other people. When 5,000 persons one day were gathered on this field at the feet of Jesus and they were hungry, you know the story, Jesus asked his disciples to feed them. And if you know the story well, you'll know that the disciples' idea was to send them back to their own hometowns, to scatter them to their different villages. There's a name for this. It's called every family for itself. And you can hear the disciples telling them, well, you know, if you just walk long enough, and if you just search hard enough, and if you just spend enough time, you'll eventually find a delicatessen that's open, or you'll find a scrap in your cupboard, or you'll find a piece of bread in that holding bread box up there. Just keep at it, and you'll get there. And Jesus says to these disciples, whom he knew so well, he says, no, don't send them away. You give them something to eat right here, while we are all together and while we are all hungry. And it's because of that notion of faith that this is something we do together, that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is always with the words our and us. Count how many times we speak those words and consider it blasphemous if ever we were to pray, give me this day my daily bread. Now, the whole group of people in that early church who believed and prayed together were of one heart and one soul, and everything owned was held in common, for no one behaved obsessively over private ownership. And subsequently, there was not a needy person among them. The apostles, we're also told, gave powerful testimony about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. I'll teach you a Greek word here. The word for great there is the word mega. Megalane is the Greek word. Mega grace was upon all of those people as they shared their life in common. I want to tell you a remarkable story that happened this April in the city of Indianapolis that didn't exactly make national news, and I doubt it even made local news. But I heard about it, April 14th, 2010. The Roncalli High School women's softball team were warming up for their first game of the season against an inner-city high school named Marshall High School. Now, Marshall High School had been in the news recently because it's one of those underperforming inner-city high schools without many resources and all kinds of counts against them. But what transpired that day between the suburban Roncalli High School kids and those inner-city Marshall High School kids is something that nobody will ever forget. The 15 Roncalli girls had completed 2.5 seasons without a loss. The 11 girls who showed up from Marshall High School had never played a game in their life. They came without any helmets. They came without any uniforms or cleats. They had a bag of some used baseball gloves without any padding. They came with two coaches who had never coached a game, and one of them had never even seen a softball game. The Marshall High School girls, they came with only 1 week of practice under their belts, and this in a bereft field with trees growing in the outfield. Well, the Marshall girls, they had to ask the umpire which base was first base. And they had to ask the visiting coach how to hold the bat. And they had to ask the umpire how to stand in the batter's box. After an inning and a half, the score was 17-0 or something like that. The Roncalli High School girls just kept rounding the bases, mostly because the pitcher couldn't get the pitch over the plate. And so after an inning and a half, what happened was the Roncalli High School girls asked to forfeit the game. They asked to take a defeat so that they could kick the umpires off the field and they could practice with the Marshall High School women's softball team. And that's exactly what they did. They worked with them on how to hit the ball and how to field a ground ball. They taught them the definition of what a strike is and what an out is. They taught them exactly what the stance is of a batter when holding the bat. And there was incredible happiness every time someone hit a ball, every time someone fielded a ball. They paired off in twos all over the infield and the outfield, a spectacular sight, I'm told. And every time they hit the ball or they caught the ball, they were high-fiving each other. There was laughter. There was tears. It was extremely emotional. This went on for 2 hours. Well, Marshall High School never won a game the rest of the season. They did lead in three of the games, but they didn't win them. Interestingly enough, the Roncalli High School students and parents raised $2,500 to purchase uniforms, gloves, batters' helmets. But more importantly than anything else, every single week for the rest of the season, the Roncalli girls and the Marshall High School girls, they practiced together. Now, folks, this is what you call the promise of human community realized in its best form. It's absolutely emblematic of the kind of world that you and I are supposed to be in the business of giving shape to. And it's a symbol of the kind of community that the early church was all about. There was not a need among them as they shared all things in common, and great grace was upon them all. Mega grace was upon them all. Let me teach you the word grace in sign language before I leave. If you don't know it, it's a kind of nice, vivid reminder of what it means to be showered with the abundant love and mercy and favor of God, even when you don't expect it and you and I don't deserve it. Essentially, it's your fist out and your five fingers opened over your head. If you forget what it looks roughly like a softball glove, fist out and your hand, your fingers over your head. Great grace was upon them all. May great grace be upon you all as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes your different understandings and mine, keep our hearts in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How beauteous are their feet who stand on Zion's hill, who bring salvation on their tongues and words of peace instill. How happy are our ears that hear this joyful sound, which kings and prophets waited for and saw but never found. How blessed are our eyes that see this heavenly light. Prophets and kings desired it long but died without the sight. The Lord makes bare his arm through all the earth abroad. Let every nation now behold their Savior and their God. read hymnals, hymn number 744. Please remain seated for this singing of these four verses. And upon the conclusion of that hymn, after each petition of the prayer, let's sing a single verse in order. One, and then verse two after the second petition, verse three after the third petition, and verse four after the fourth petition of prayer.
Let us pray. Breathe your life and love into the dried out places of our lives, O God. Soften our pride, deepen our trust, grow our humility. Show us the playful side of your grace, that life is never quite as serious as we suppose it to be. Grant that we may take to heart that you have taken us to heart. In our lives, Lord, be glorified. The rhythms of your creation keep moving us to want to sing, O Lord. And even when a song doesn't bubble up, there is still the hum of grace below. Teach us to delight in praise. Help us find a common voice when we're not sure of our own voice. In our song, Lord, be glorified. This village, and indeed your whole church, is only as strong as the spirit with which you infuse every guest. Keep molding us into a holier community than we could make for ourselves. Bring perspective to our desires, persistence to our courage, and love to our hearts. In your church, Lord, be glorified. into this world of often harsh news and unwelcomed crises. Nothing is more urgent than the flow of your grace. Bless all banged up people and worn out people, all hungry people and captive people. Deliver your creation from the cries of want, that all people may discover the joy of giving thanks. Fix our own step through the uneven motions of this world, that other people would benefit from our kindness. In your world, Lord, be glorified. Into both of your hands, O Lord, we commend the well-being of this village, our lives, and your whole creation, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is 576. Please rise.
Serve the Lord.